This is an iHeart podcast.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Friday. And it is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We have real offense being played. Jobs are being lost. Arizona elected a demon for governor, kind of. And we have asked Dr. Jesse questions ranging all over the place, from burgers to history to the GOP Senate to whether or not I support a Franco, the Franco I talk about so often, and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I actually want to begin with the Franco question. Not a ton of huge news stories today, and I love that because that means we can screw off. Mr. Oracle, you say you wouldn't, you wouldn't be the Franco that will eventually come, but given the opportunity, would you support the Franco? Now, what's he talking about? Let's go back to square one here. I'm sure you have seen from today what happened to Riley Gaines. Riley Gaines, in case you don't know, was that female swimmer at the University of Kentucky. I've interviewed her on TV before, wonderful human being. And since then, she has been speaking out very loudly, very publicly about men pretending to be women and competing in women's sports. And she's been going to various universities to speak out about it. Went to one in San Francisco. I'm not exaggerating when I say they held her hostage for 3 hours. She was physically assaulted. It's a horrible story. Horrible. It's really, really bad. The audio is all crap, so I can't play you anything to show it to you. It's all over social media. It's all over the news. You'll see some of it, but it's bad. And she's just a wonderful person. And as I have explained many, many times, it's not where we're at now. It's where we're going, where we're at now, the things that are happening now. Alvin Bragg arrests Trump in New York City. College campuses now violently assaulting people. Trannies shooting up schools, churches. Where we're at now is a taste of where we're going. And now this wouldn't be the case if people were cracking down on this, trying to stop this. But remember, the powers that be who run this country have done nothing but encourage all of this stuff even more. It's not like there's some crackdown movement. Let's get all this stuff wrapped up. As soon as some nutball walks into a school and mows down a bunch of kids, the White House comes out with this garbage.
This has been one of the worst weeks of 2023 so far in terms of anti-LGBTQ bills becoming law in state.
Yeah, we got it. Okay, so where we're going is this. We are going to a place in this nation where the blue areas are going to be frightening. Frightening. Everyone talks about New York because the world focuses on New York. So it's the most important city in the world. But remember, this goes beyond the borders of New York. This is Chicago. This is LA. This is San Francisco. These blue urban places are going to be living hells. And there's a story out there now in the New York Post that I wish more people would pay attention to and read. Let me pull it up here really, really quickly. I had it pulled up on my phone. This is very, very professional, but it's a New York Post story about a judge. And the mother is grieving because her son was murdered. The headline, if you want to read the story, is Bronx judge rips grieving mother before cutting her son's accused killer loose. Now, I'm not going to go through all the details of it, but what you need to know is this is a piece of trash communist judge. Mother has her son taken away from her. The judge flat out scolds her and tells the murderer, you're free, go ahead. This is a taste of what is coming. And expand that to the university system. The university system is now churning out these vicious little street monsters every single year now. And it's bleeding down into high schools. Entertainment's pushing it. Okay. So you got all that. You got the problems. We are heading to a place where there are going to be severe issues in this nation. This is why I have pushed so hard for you to move, get red, and fortify. get red and fortify, because we will need a robust anti-communist coalition of red states going forward to have any protection at all from the wolves who are growing right now. Now, that brings me to your question about a Franco. In case you don't know, I'm talking about Francisco Franco in Spain. This is kind of during the Nazi era in Spain. Spain was a very mixed up nation for a bunch of different reasons. I won't go into all the details of it. Eventually, Spain was taken over by communists. Spain was a very traditional, is a very traditionally Catholic place. And eventually the communists took over Spain. And communists did exactly what communists always do. They began slaughtering all the Catholics, crucifying the priests, gang raping the nuns. It was horrific. No one knows about this because they don't teach about the evils of communism in American schools. But what the communists were doing in Spain was horrific. And the Spanish, they looked to one of their generals, a very capable military commander named Francisco Franco, and said, hey, will you gather up the military and take our country back? And he did. He worked with the Nazis. He was not a Nazi. He worked with the Nazis so Hitler would provide him with military equipment and aid. And he fought against the communists in his own country and won and took Spain back. And when he won and took Spain back, he then proceeded to do things to ensure the communists were not going to take over again. I won't go into all the details, but he killed a whole lot of them, and by the time Franco was done in Spain, the communists were some obscure guerrilla group in the mountains. They were hiding in caves. They went from owning the country to being some tiny little group hiding in caves. And Franco has a million different speeches and quotes out there. I'm paraphrasing him here. One of them is, communists will never have my Spain while I am here. Like, he ran the mountain. He was an anti-communist. That's what he was known as. So all that stuff sounds good, right? You're cheering a lot of that. And I get that. I get that. He was also an authoritarian. Now, I'm not going to tell you he was Stalin or Mao or Hitler, because that's absolutely not true at all. But he was an authoritarian. There was no limited government. There was no, well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we should ask the legislature. It was no, Franco runs things around here. That's the way it was. And what I have warned repeatedly is that one is coming in America. He is. Because what's happened is these vicious little communist monsters, they're only 10-20% of the population, but they do hold the choke points. They hold the cultural institutions right now. And they are so rabid because it's a religion of destruction. It's a religion of death. They're going to destroy and eat and kill and destroy and eat and kill and destroy and eat and kill. Well, there's still tens of millions of Americans, millions and millions and millions of them, who think like you think and want what you want. And the people will not put up with that kind of persecution for that long. It's not like the people who think like you think are some tiny minority who's going to be crushed. There's a lot of us. And what's going to happen is the people will choose for themselves a Franco to run. There won't be any more limited government, the Constitution, any of that. People will vote for the guy who promises to punish the communists, period. I have told you before, if you ran now as on the GOP presidential ticket and you ran on it, if I decided I'm done with radio, I'm going to go run for president, and I ran on a ticket where I promised that I would, if I was elected president, I would find journalists who were horrible communists, and I would throw them in prison without trial. If I ran on that platform today, I would get a significant percentage of the GOP primary vote. I would. You know, you're probably nodding. You're probably cheered when I just said that. And I understand. Now, that's where we are today. Fast forward 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when these vicious little monsters are out there murdering everything they can see and tearing our society apart, what would you support then? Think what you would support now and double it, triple it, 10 times it. That's why I've been telling people for the longest time Franco was coming. Now, whenever I bring that up, people will inevitably try to make me that Franco, for whatever level of seriousness they are. Jesse, it's got to be you. Jesse, you should do it. Jesse, you should do it. And I have repeatedly said, that's never something I want. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want anyone to get hurt. You know this is going to end up with journalists getting tossed out of helicopters, right? That's how this is going to end. It's going to end terribly in ways like that. I don't want to do that. You want to do that? I don't want to. Don't answer that. I don't want to do that. Now, I'll explain the why, and then I'll explain whether or not I would support that guy. Before I do that, I just want to play this little bit again from Janet Yellen. I just want to make sure you pay real close attention.
You're going to drive the debt from somewhere around $32 trillion up to about $50 trillion, correct?
Yes, but what I believe is the single most important metric for judging the fiscal stance of the country is real net interest as a share of GDP.
Okay. So are you concerned when you take the debt from $32 to $50 trillion, are you concerned who's going to buy that debt? And also at what rate they'll expect to be compensated for buying riskier and riskier?
Please tell me you have bought Oxford gold. Tell me you have physical gold and silver in your possession, in your home, locked away. Again, don't brag about it. Please keep it off social media. Tell me you have woven some gold or silver or both into your 401k or IRA. If these things sound complicated to you, I get it. They do sound complicated. Oxford Gold makes this stuff really, really easy. Very straightforward. Please call them. 833-995-GOLD. You will wish you had if you don't. 833-995-GOLD. Tell them I told you to call. All right? We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we're digging into all the stuff today. I was talking about that. I really want you to go read that story in the New York Post about that Bronx judge. No one talks about this today. You really need to go read the story. Not that I think you'll care about the individual story itself. Stories like this are a preview, a taste of what is to come. She's scolding the mother who just lost her son and coddling the guy who killed him. It's where we're going. All right, so back to the question. The question was, hey, Jesse, if you won't be the Franco that comes, will you support him? Now let's fast forward to that terrible day when it finally gets here. I, as you probably realize, I want government to be teeny tiny because all politicians on both sides are scumbags. Just keep these people out of our lives and let's just live our lives the way we go. That's what I want. I want a tiny, limited government. That's what I want. I also understand that I will probably never have my wish in my lifetime. Because once the communists get rabid like they are now, and once they start using the forces of government as they are now against their political opponents, your only course of action is to use your forces of government back against them. You don't have a live and let live option when they're using the forces of government to attack you. You can't live and let live your way out of the FBI declaring you to be a domestic terrorist and sending a SWAT team to your door for posting memes online. There's no live and let live solution for that. There have to be aggressive legal government solutions for that. There's no other way. That's going to require a state, a county sheriff, saying, FBI, don't you dare come in within these borders or I'll arrest you and throw you in jail. It's going to require things like that. So the era of limited government, as much as you probably love it, as much as I love it, it has come to an end. There won't be that now. There will be now big government solutions across the board. And look, this is a horrible place to be. You don't want your government to have to ban a child drag show. That shouldn't be something your government should even have to deal with at all. But when you have a nation, a late stage republic like we do, our government is going to have to begin digging into these things and is digging into these things. Now, so when Franco comes, I think because of our anger right now at how much of our government at the federal, state, and local level, depending on where you are, has been weaponized against us, I think our anger at that right now has made the appeal of a Franco coming better than it will actually be. Because the problem with that is this. You really, really, really better hope that guy is fairly benevolent
but he can't really be benevolent if he's going to take on the communists and smash them. You see, you're asking for too much. You're asking for somebody to step in and crush the communists, but at the same time, I mean, he's going to respect your freedom. And no, you have rights. No, we live in a constitutional society. It's not really how it works. That's not how it works. When that guy comes, his word goes. What if it is me? What if it's not going to be me, by the way, but just let's use that as an example. What if it is me? And I step in and I start chucking communists out of helicopters. I'm not doing that, by the way. I'm not doing that. But what if it is me? I smash the communists and they're all gone. And here I am, Dictator Jesse in charge of the Republic. Okay. Well, I run everything now. Guess what? I like that house of yours. I think I'll take it. Oh, you said something to anger me? I'm not even talking about some communist journalist. Let's say you write me any one of these hate emails I get all day. You write me a nasty email, even one that isn't particularly nasty. Hey, Jesse, you mispronounced this word. I get a bunch of those because I'm stupid and I mispronounce a bunch of words. Hey, Jesse, you mispronounced this word. But let's say I'm Dictator Jesse. Okay. Hey, Chris, send the security forces over to this guy's house and teach him not to correct me, please. That's how that goes. Now, if you're asking me if I would support that, one is, you need to understand this is the last thing in the world I want. But if my choices are that or letting the communists have it all, okay, I'll support that, of course. But that's not what I want. What I want is what you want. I want to go back to living in a normal country. I want to go back to living in a country that actually loves freedom. I want to go back to living in a place where we make things here and the economy's robust and we put Americans first beyond illegal immigrants. I want to live in a country where we have some kind of budget that makes any kind of sense. I want the things you want. I don't want to have some right-wing dictator. But if my only choices in the future are a left-wing one or a right-wing one, well, that's no choice at all. If I have to choose between the communists who are crucifying priests or Francisco Franco, well, give me my Franco bumper sticker. It's going on my midlife crisis car. That's just the way it's got to be. These are, I'm glad we have these talks. I know these are hard talks, but I do think it's important that you understand and I understand where we're going. I do the same thing you do. I try to work these things out in my mind. What does this mean? Where's this going? Where's this lead us? And it doesn't go anywhere pretty from here, but these are the times we've been given, right? All right. Let's change the subject for a minute. Let's deal with the Chinese, the GOP. Someone wants to know about playing offense and lending friends tools. Hang on.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't forget, you can email us during the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, before we get to more Ask Dr. Jesse questions, I forgot to play you this little gem from John Kirby yesterday, asked about Afghanistan.
In looking through this, it doesn't seem to address the $7 billion in military hardware and technology that was left in Afghanistan for the Taliban. Does the president take responsibility for leaving all or some of that?
You know who was responsible for that equipment? The Afghans. Because you know why? It was their equipment. First of all, I don't believe the number's accurate. But let's put the number aside, the $7 billion. There was very little, and I mean very little, U.S.-owned equipment or U.S.-operated equipment that we left when we left Afghanistan. I'm talking like some forklifts at the airport and some ladder vehicles, some fire trucks that we were using at the airport. But the helicopters that we left there, all disabled, so the Taliban couldn't get them flying again. Whatever ground vehicles like MRAPs or Humvees, they were all disabled at the airport. Everything else outside of that airport, the stuff that's at Bagram or you pick the base in Afghanistan, was all turned over in according with a very elaborate, deliberate, retrograde plan that the U.S. military put in place to turn over all that stuff to the Afghan military. And
we really spent trillions of dollars, thousands of lives, handed the useless Afghan security forces billions of dollars of equipment that you paid for, and then when asked about it, he says, well, hey, we didn't leave it. It was the Afghanis. These people. You know what? We're going back to Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Dear Jesse, what's your philosophy on loaning tools to friends and relatives? Do you only load out hand tools, or will you also loan gas-powered and electric tools? Do you insist they return them the way they received them? For example, should they fill it up with gas? How does a world-famous author deal with this? I am probably different, and I know you're going to find this shocking, maybe a little bit more rude than you are. I have an ironclad rule. I do not break it under any circumstances, no matter what. I'll get to the tools thing in a second. I do not do business with friends, ever, of any kind. I will never go into a business deal with a friend or a family member, ever, under any circumstances. I have seen that blow up families and blow up friendships more times in my life than I can possibly count. I won't do anything business-wise with Chris or Michael, with my sister, parents, friends I live in the neighborhood. The answer is no. The answer is no. Because it blows, one thing goes wrong. One thing goes wrong and it blows everything up. I will not do it. I refuse. And when it comes to tool stuff, no, you can have my tools. That's fine. I'll loan you my tools. I'll loan you whatever I have. But I am not going to be nice if you try to bring a half full lawnmower back to me. I will hand it, I'll drop it right back in your driveway, even if you're my friend, and say, why don't you try filling that up the way I had it filled up, and then you bring that back to me again. You have to be that way. That may sound rude. You have to be that way. You have to be direct like that. Or here's what happens. You loan your buddy your lawnmower. It's full. He brings it back empty. You are mad about it, but you don't say anything, and you sit and stew on it and stew on it and stew on it. And then it sits there and it just simmers inside of you, and this resentment grows. I have always found it's much easier to just be the loud, direct jerk right off the bat than letting things simmer and fester inside of you. If I have an issue, you're going to know about it, and then we'll move on past it. If not, it goes real, real bad. You sound like you've got a friend who's doing you wrong, and you better straighten his butt out real, real fast, or you're going to blow up the friendship. You're going to lose it. But yeah, you can have whatever I want, or whatever you want of mine. You can borrow my stuff. I don't mind, but you're bringing it back the way I loaned it to you, for sure. El Jespo, if the GOP ever wins control of the Senate, House, and presidency again, what if they pass legislation that formalized how portions of states can legally secede from their own state, either form a new state or more likely join a geographically adjacent state? That would mean parts of Oregon could join Idaho, rural areas of New York might join Pennsylvania. Oh my gosh. I know so many New Yorkers who are just dying to get away from New York City and Albany. Anyway, it might join Pennsylvania. That could potentially boost conservative representation, shift purple states red. Would that be offense? What say you? Okay, well, one, this is not doable federally. The federal government it's not going to do it. It's going to have to be the individual states themselves, and that will be something you're going to see pretty regularly going forward. The states themselves in the coming years, they're going to start breaking off. The Greater Idaho Movement is real, and it's coming. These things are coming. But you ask about offense. No, that's not offense. Like when I tell you, hey, pack it up, get out of New York, get to a red area. That's important. It's necessary. You have to do it for the protection of yourself and your family. And so you're not lost behind enemy lines, so you can come reinforce places where we need you. But it's also not offense. That's a tactical retreat. Tactical retreats are very necessary. You can't have your forces be wiped out because you're surrounded on all sides. Get to a place where you can fortify, collect yourself, and defend. This is a military tactic as old as time. This is a tactical retreat. It's a good thing. But it's not offense. And we have spent so much of our lives as, well, quote, conservatives, which I don't like that term. I don't use it very much anymore, that we don't even know what offense is. For instance, what's something hot in the news? Child drag shows is something hot in the news right now. Or gender affirming care. That's a common thing out there. When they say gender affirming care, always keep in mind they're talking about chopping off body parts of children. That's what they're talking about. Mutilation in horrific medieval ways. That's what they're talking about. And you want them to ban that. And I want them to ban that. All right. That's good. Good. Ban it. That's not offense at all. Offense would be, one, take the doctor who does it and lock him up in prison for the next 20 years of his life. That's one. Two, offense is pushing new cultural values into your younger generations, into the United States of America. So in the future, people are never manipulated enough to even consider trying to change the sex they were born with. We have stopped playing offense culturally at all. We're always playing defense. Stop this, ban this, ban CRT, ban that. And that's good. The bans are fine. The bans are necessary. But that's not offense at all. Hey, I want to ban abortion. Okay, fine, ban abortion. You know how pro-life I am. Ban the daggone thing. Ban it all the way. I want you to ban it. But that is not offense. That's trying to stop the baby-murdering demons from killing babies. That's not offense. Offense is encouraging people to have children. Get married. Make babies. Raise them with your values. We don't play cultural offense. We are beginning to do it a little bit when it comes to things like entertainment. You're starting to see more and more of these different organizations like the Daily Wire. I have some friends over there. My buddy Steve Dace just put out a great movie that's in theaters that you should go see. You want to put your money where your morals are? It's called Nefarious. It's very, very good, creepy movie he just put out. It's probably in a theater near you. Go see Nefarious. So we're getting better at that, but that's how we do it. Pushing cultural values through entertainment is something we are so far behind on, but we're starting to get into there. That's more offense, right? Stopping them from destroying us is not offense. It's necessary, but it's not offense, right? All right. Now, let's get to China. We got to have a little China talk here. Someone wants to know about the Marines, and someone wants to know about the sheriff, because sheriff is something we're not talking about enough at all. We're going to address all that after we address these guys in Tennessee. Now, if we're going to play offense, if we're going to do an appropriate tactical retreat, if we're going to take on the communists, we are going to have to be strong and focused and ready, are we not? I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every single day. I fill up my body with natural herbal supplements that have me feeling better than I felt since I was in my daggone 20s, man. I've got 60-year-olds writing in saying, I've got so much energy, I don't know what to do with it. Men and women, because there's a female vitality stack. Hardcore anti-communists at Chalk trying to do the blocking and tackling we have to do to save this country. Part of that is saving yourself, a big part of it. You can't save America if you're a low-T weenie. Go to chok.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off subscriptions. Get a subscription. Don't pay full price like a chump. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Hang on. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Wishing everybody a very, very happy Good Friday out there. We're just going to kind of
ignore Chris for the most part today. What, Chris? What do you want me to say, Chris? What do you want me to say? Apparently, it's not Good Friday for you, pal. All right, quit. Anyway, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and everyone's talking. The only story that's really huge today, blowing everything up, is this story in Tennessee about them bouncing a couple people from the state legislature. Had a couple committed communists, well, a few committed communists on the state legislature. They brought in a mob. They brought in a tranny mob to the state legislature. And then they just voted and they expelled them. Of course, all the communists are freaking out today, acting like, oh, this is violence and all this other stuff. One, let's always remember something. Remember the rule. The system takes care of its own. These guys are going to be just fine. All of them are going to be just fine. And I mean, really fine. They're going to get book deals, cable news deals, high paying gigs at universities. The system would never allow servants like this to go not taken care of. That's not a great way to put that, but oh well, I went to community college. These guys are going to be fine. Dome already announced today she's going to go down there and make sure they're well taken care of. So we're fine. Now, here's the thing about this. I don't want to be, I know it's Friday. I don't want to be too doom and gloom, but I've brought this up before. I want us all to understand something that should make us not nervous, but aware of what's coming is the age of the Democratic Party now. The old dogs, the Nancy Pelosi types, the Chuck Schumer types, even though Chuck Schumer is a world-class piece of trash, these old dogs, they're going to be retiring soon or dying soon. They're all about that age. It's just the way it is. I'm not trying to be mean. They are. They're going to get old and die. The young members of the Democratic Party, both in Tennessee, you see this all over the place in New York. You see this. California is really, really bad. Washington, D.C. itself. AOC's there. AOC's in her 30s. I don't even think she's hit mid-30s yet. The young Democrats, they don't even pretend they're anything other than Marxists. They'll call themselves communists and Marxists and socialists, meaning they, the Democrats, are hardening themselves for war, for a culture war to come, and it will be an aggressive culture war. Part of the reason I whip the GOP so often, and I'm so hard on all of them, presidents, senators, congressmen, the GOP states, part of the reason I'm so hard on them is they're so pillow soft compared to the next generation of Democrats that are coming. This is why I've encouraged you to run for office. This is why last night, remember I told you I was going to get off the air and head down to a local event for city council in my town because we have big elections coming up here in Texas May 6th. I did it. Do you think I wanted to go down there and do small talk with people for an hour? Believe me, I didn't. Did the chorizo cheese puffs kind of make it worth it? Yeah, they kind of did. But I did it. Why? We got to organize. We have to be out there. I have to find the anti-communist and make sure my government is filled up with them. We have school board races in Texas coming next year, I believe. Although there are some this year, so don't take my word on that. Make sure you always check your local area for your elections. I'm getting involved. I'm doing it. We need to do it. I got this email. I loved it. Dear world famous author Jesse, I am an elected Republican committee woman of a prominent central Ohio county, and next week I will participate in a meeting and questioning process for a potential sheriff. Our current sheriff, who's a blood red Republican, has decided to retire and step down from his term. He's recommended this man as his replacement until the election in 2024. Our GOP county committee has the responsibility to vote for sheriff replacement for the interim period. My question for you is this. What questions should I ask this potential sheriff? What would an anti-communist world-famous author and oracle ask? I ran for this position because of your admonishment to make our area redder, and never fear, I always wear heels to the meetings. Attaway, Dime, attaway. You go do it. All right. What would I ask a potential sheriff? I would ask anybody who wanted to be my sheriff, if the FBI is coming to arrest somebody in our county on an unjust charge, will you and your deputies stand in between that citizen and the Federal Bureau of Investigation? That's a hard question to ask. That's the only question to ask. Because the future, as we move along, the future is going to be the good county sheriffs we have, and many of them are sorry and need replaced, the good county sheriffs we have standing up to the feds as the feds continue to attack and assault you. Did you see this latest put out by the FBI? The latest list of words and things that might make you a potential domestic terrorist? Words like cell, Stacy, rope, red pill. You ever heard of red pill or black pill or blue pill? Everyone's heard those words. Now, you ever use those words? Congratulations. If you use those words, there's a chance the FBI is already looking at you as potentially being a domestic terrorist. They have books here where if you're reading these books, they think you're potentially a domestic terrorist. None of these were alt-right based. Ever heard of these? Goyim, LARPing. white genocide, all of the words that are being listed as making you a potential domestic terrorist, they all have one thing in common. They're all aimed at weaponizing the federal government against the right, against the enemies of the Democrats. What's coming for the future will require sheriffs and, Lord willing, state police agencies in the various states standing up to the federal government. It will be required. We will need a coalition of red states in the future, and I hope it's the distant future, but it may not be. All right? Ask your sheriff, are you willing and ready to stand up to the federal government to protect me and mine? If I've used too many naughty words online and they show up and they want to arrest me for, well, First Amendment issues, are you going to stop them? Or are you going to help them? That's what I'd be asking my sheriff. All right, now, let's talk about China. Talk about the Marines. Someone has a question. Group projects in, oh boy, Arizona. Come on. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.